Got to have the full cup. Amen? So get your Bibles out tonight. And if you would, go to Psalms 37. While I was getting less squeaky, I got hold of a word here I want to give you tonight. Psalms 37, verse 1. It says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good." Everybody say, "Trust in the Lord." Look at the person beside you and say, "Trust in the Lord." Turn to the person on the other side and say, "Trust in the Lord." Now, I'm already messing my whole message up. Turn to the person to your left and look at them and say, "Hot potato." Turn to the person on your right and say, "Hot potato." Now, may I just say hot potato three times? I don't want you to forget that word tonight, okay? When you're going to leave here in a minute, I want you to remember this crazy message. Hot potato. So say hot potato three more times. Remember when we were playing hot potato? You never played hot potato as a kid? You know, some of them you did it as a song. You passed the ball around, or the other one you did it as, had the little deal and it would vibrate when it go off. You know, you had to get, the whole object was to get rid of it, right? Okay, just remember that. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. You know, isn't that a pretty good motto? I mean, if you don't know what to do in life, trust in the Lord and just do good. Right? I mean, you can live your whole life just saying, "Well, Lord, I never did really know what my ministry was, so I just trusted in you and did good." I mean, you're to get it accomplished, right? Dwell in the land, and look at this. I'm reading New King James, and I looked at a bunch of different translations, but New King James says, "Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." How do you feed on God's faithfulness? It's not hot potato. That's coming on in a minute. Think about this. How do you feed? How do you feed your soul on God's faithfulness? How would you go about that? Recount the times or think on, dwell on, meditate on the things, the times that God's bailed you out, pulled out a miracle, did something that you didn't think could happen, right? Memorials. Reading it, right? Bible says Abraham, you know, look at his whole life, all things instance happened in his life. Think about, you know, whatever, you may feel like you're Samson, messed up in life, got chained to a pillar, somebody poked your eyes out, but your strength is growing back. Right? He says, if you're going to, he says he wants you to feed on his faithfulness. And the only way you can do that is that takes you meditating on the good things of God, God's faithfulness, the times he's, you know, done these things for you. You meditating on that, he says, that is what you call feeding on his faithfulness, right? Trust in the Lord, do good, right? Okay, just hang on here. It says, dwell on the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So as you're meditating on how many times God's been faithful, how many times you've seen him do this, how many times he's done this, how many times he's bailed you out, how many times this has happened, how many this has happened in life, you're meditating on that, then God gets so excited about it. Because you're trusting in him. And think, I mean, come on. if everywhere I went and said, "Man, you must really be something. So-and-so came in, you know, goes to your church, came in here, and he just said, you're the best guy in the world." And the next place I go, somebody says, "Oh, another old person's in there. He's the best." Before long, I'd get to feeling like I was really the best guy in the world. Are you see what I'm saying? If everybody, that was the report over everything that everybody was spreading about me, that I was the best guy in the world, then after a while, everywhere I went and I heard that, then would I not be thinking, "Hey, you know, I guess I must be pretty good"? Jesus says when you dwell on him and you feed on his faithfulness, he gets so excited that you're trusting in him And feeding on his faithfulness, what happens is he just ends up giving you the desires of your heart. Now, what I like about that is he doesn't say the desires of your head. He says he gives you the desires of your heart, what's really down on the inside of you. Y'all follow me? The things that really are meaningful, the things that are really great, the things that are really amazing. Okay? So, you're dwelling on him, you're trusting in the Lord, you're dwelling in the land, you're feeding on his faithfulness. He's giving you the desires of your heart, okay? Now, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, everybody look at that word there, commit. Okay? It's an interesting word. There's something you've got to do, and this is a real simple message tonight, but I pray it changes your thinking. Everybody say hot potato. Okay. Right there in verse 5, he says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Have you ever, the word to me, commit, can be a little weak. In the sense that, I've committed to things before, but then other outside circumstances kept me from fulfilling my commitment. Right? You know what I'm saying? Even if it was the desire of my heart to do it, it was my full well intentions, but something kept me. I say, Frankie, I want to be at your house at 7, but I had a flat tire and I didn't get there till 8. I committed to him to be there at 7, but there was outside circumstances that kept me from getting there. Y'all with me? And he said, and I said, I'm so sorry, I told you I'd be here at 7, and I didn't get here till 8. Well, I was sincere, and it was my heart, and I was a good guy in doing it, but something stopped me, right? So it says, commit your way to the Lord. How many times have you done that? Right? But I want to tell you something tonight. That's not what that's talking about. That is not what that word means. That is not what he is trying to communicate to you. He's not talking about commit your way to the Lord. And then, because what happens is, like I said, outside circumstances, other things in life, keep us from being able to really truly commit our way to the Lord. Or you started out that morning going to commit your way to the Lord, but what happened was, is through the obstacles and circumstances and situations that came into life, you were worrying shortly thereafter. Y'all with me? Do y'all worry? Or y'all just never have a problem, you never worry? Do y'all worry over there? Does this section, anybody ever have a worry? Ever have a concern? I do. I'm human. Maybe y'all aren't human, but I'm human. Even though I know what the Word of God says, I know how to confess the Word of God, I know what the Bible says, I know the Word, I know it all out there. But there's things that come upon me that I sometimes it's subconscious. I don't even realize that I am being anxious about something. Right? And then all of a sudden I realize, oh gosh. Some things are really, really spiritual, or I worry about the church, I'll be thinking about the church, and then I won't realize that I'm really kind of concerned, worried, and then some things are job related, and some things are family related, and some things are missions related. Y'all follow me? But I find myself and I'm anxious about it, and then I thought, what am I doing? I shouldn't be anxious about this. I pray, I commit this to the Lord and trust in him, and everything's going to be okay. And so I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I was worried about that. And so I commit to go through another little prayer. And then, next day I didn't realize I'm thinking about it again. Are y'all with me here? Has this happened to y'all in life? Come on. All right. And then I feel kind of guilty because I thought I was committing my way to the Lord, what he said, right? Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And I thought I was committed to him, but the committing I've been doing is the committing of, I'm really, really trusting you. Right? It's that I'm going to get there to your house at 7, but I had a flat tire and didn't get there till 8. That's not what the word means. The word there for commit, it actually means to cast upon or to roll it over. Right? When I see the word and I really get to it, what it really means is to saddle. If you saddle the horse and you put, you know, the pack on it, is really what it means. It means, you know, if you saddle a horse and you have a pack on it and you rolled it over on one side and then you tied the pack on this side. That's really what it means. That's the kind of rollover. It doesn't mean like a dog, roll over. Right? You cast it off. Okay? Now, everybody see hot potato. All right. Now let me show you another scripture. Let me show you like the parallel scripture to this. Go, you can kind of hold your fingers there if you want, but go to 1 Peter. Let me show you the parallel scripture here. This message is going to be short and sweet, but I pray it changes your life. 1 Peter. Where'd you go, Peter? You're hiding from me here. Y'all ever get into your Bible and you get all these things stuffed in your Bible, like pieces of paper and this and that and the other, and then you can't get past all that? I need to just shake my Bible out, but I don't want to because all those are little gold nuggets stuck in there. But I really need them to get out of there my way because I can't turn my Bible anymore. Can't see it anymore either. I have some. I was struggling there. I thought I could do it, but I can't. Okay, here we go. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. 6 and 7 are the parallel scriptures to Psalms 37. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That word casting, right there, okay? It tends to have the same meaning, but a little different. Would you like to know what it is? If you look up the word, it really means, in the Hebrew, to cast upon. But if you take that word and you look at the root where it came from, it has the idea and the behind it of a sudden motion. Frankie, just stand up with her. Frankie gets to be Jesus tonight. This is what it means to cast your cares upon Jesus. Okay? This is your care. Whatever it be. Whatever comes upon you. Whatever the worry is. Whatever the problem is like there. And it means this minute it came to you, he said, oh. I should have got a soft one. It means a sudden motion. It means you don't mull over it. You don't sit it. You don't roll it around. As minute you get it's hot potato, man, you get rid of it. That's what it means. It, when you say roll over, you know, it kind of, you get a motion, but picture back here. This is what it means. I mean, it's like, huh. You don't want it. If you would start to look at every worry, every trouble, every situation, every anxiety as, oh my God, I don't want it. That's nuclear waste. That's killing me. Get it off. Jesus can take it. You see what I'm saying? You got to look at it that way. You got to see, oh my God, it's death. I don't want this thing. Get rid of it. Throw it to Jesus. Cast it over him. It says, cast your burdens on me. Cast it on me because I care for you. I want it. He can deal with it. You can't. It's the same. Can you flip back to Psalms 37? I don't know what verse was that. 5? Commit your way. It's the same root. It has the same meaning. It's not the commitment like, oh, Lord, I'm really not going to worry about this anymore. It's not a mental concept. It's not something he's wanting you to do. Yes, Lord, I've released my faith now to you. It's you got rid of it. You looked at it and said, oh, God, I don't want that. And he just, Jesus. And it's the funny thing about the word is it goes real in depth if you go into the Strong's and you look at it. It means a sudden motion, to fling, to quick toss. And it's different from, because you know the Greek has this, all the words. There's another word that means to cast off, but it means deliberately hurl. Okay? That's not throw up. And then there's another word that's kind of like that, but it means an extended projection of it. In other words, all those other words have something to do with that you held on to it for a little bit. You know, like it's a javelin and you ran, you know, with this javelin in your hand and then that's what one of those words means, but that's not what that word means. That word means as quick as you get rid of it. Fling it. Do you know, this is something else. I don't know about y'all, but if you said to me, yeah, I just flung it off. That tells me that you were not trying to hit something with it. Right? It's not like, okay, now I want to hit that O right in water hole. No. You just, like a bug jumped on you. The other day on the job we were working, there's a tarantula, one of those big daddy mumbo jumbos about plate size, run out there and run over there towards Joseph. Man, you ought to have seen him move. Boy, there was no, oh, look at the little spider. I mean, I got out of its way. I was like, whoa, look at the size of that thing. It was running pretty fast. It's like, man, that thing jump on me. You're going to see me scream like a girl and run out of here, you know? Right? You fling it. Is that not a different way of living life? Is that every time a worry comes, you're just like, Right? The devil comes to you and says, oh, this is going to happen. You just throw it off. That's literally what he's trying to say. Fling your cares out there on me because I care for you. I'll take care of it. Commit your works. Commit your works to me. Fling your works over on me and I'll see you get in the right place. Now, isn't that, as I thought about that, so I thought, man, that's not like meditating. Oh, gosh, Lord. We've got this problem with this again, and I don't know what I should do, and if I ought to do this, or I ought to do that, or, you know, maybe this, and maybe that, and I don't know. Well, the Scripture says this. No, he says just fling it all. Just, just get rid of it as fast as you can. Hot potato. The object is to get rid of it as fast as you can. That worry is a hot potato. Fling it. Fast as you can. Cast it off. He catches it. He takes care of it. It's a great way to live. Just say, it's off of you. It's out of there. No more. Fling it off. Amen? Now go back just one more verse here in Psalms 37. I'm through. Psalms 37. Let me show you this. Let me show you what happens when you start living a life of flinging it off. When you truly start living the life of hot potato. Psalms 37. Commit your ways to the Lord, verse 5. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So in other words, the things that you're supposed to be walking in your righteousness, it just starts happening. He brings it forth. Because you're not sitting around carrying a bag full of worry. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. So every worry, every concern, it's hot potato. Get rid of it. Fling it as quick as you can. Get it off of you. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, hot potato. So from now on, anybody you're around, they may think you're crazy, but somebody's telling you something, come up and say, listen, oh, there's a big problem. Hot potato! Fling it off. Hot potato, scream, whatever. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Good nugget. Frankie did such a good job. Ushers, help me. We do have hot dogs.